From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Tomorrow morning, job holders, job seekers, and financial markets will be digesting the official word on employment and unemployment in America for the month just passed. One early piece of positive news came today. The number of people who had to file for unemployment benefits fell again over the last week. The four-week average is the lowest since the 2008 financial implosion. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, is always very nice about taking our calls on a Thursday. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
Okay, so we'll start with the payroll company ADP. They found 176,000 more people on private sector payrolls in August compared to July. Certainly a positive trend.
It is a positive trend. It's not much of a change in trend from what we've seen over the last year or so. I hope it's right, since my forecast for private sector payrolls is 175,000 for tomorrow. And remember, the quality of jobs generated matters as much as the number of jobs. There is some bit of a pickup in both construction and manufacturing jobs during the month of August, and that's important because those are much higher wage jobs than the low-paying minimum wage jobs we've been generating over much of the recovery.
Now, but even as people are finding work, companies are announcing layoffs. Those layoff announcements went up last month.
Yes, actually, one of the weakest sectors in ADP was finance. So the finance sector is consolidated now after all of what we saw during the financial crisis. And I think that's where many of the layoffs are actually coming from and may come from going forward.
Now, just before we go, tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern time, August unemployment as tallied by the government, you said 175,000 is your number for job gains? That's what you're predicting?
In the private sector, 165,000 total. We are losing some government sector jobs now, more on the federal side. We're also going to see some effects of the sequester, not in terms of the overall numbers. People don't lose a job if they get put on an unpaid furlough. But if you're losing one day of pay a week, that certainly hits your hours worked and the pay you take home.
And what about the unemployment rate, the parallel survey tomorrow?
We're looking for that to stay unchanged at 7.4%, mostly because we just don't see that many people throwing their hat in the ring to actually look for a job. The participation rate in those looking for a job has been very low, particularly among younger workers. The good news is we do know younger workers eventually have to rejoin the labor force.
All right. Diane Swonk, Mesirow Financial, thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
The NFL season opens tonight, Ravens and the Broncos, but the NFL's dealing with new competition. Many fans are fine with real football, but they've also been spending a lot of time and money in a kind of fantasy land where they create virtual teams with the players of their choice and use real game statistics to run simulations. Here to talk fantasy football and fantasy sports in general is Scott Minto, director of San Diego State University's Sports Business MBA. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, David.
So, this is an amazing case of the tail wagging the dog, watching guys playing football from some distance, whatever, but fake matchups of fantasy teams. Now, that's interactive. That's hands-on. It really has captured people's imagination.
You know, for some people, even the fake lineups and the fake teams that they create in leagues with their friends are even more important than the actual NFL teams themselves.
Now, there's a whole business and infrastructure built up around fantasy sports.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, you have Yahoo is a major player in that space. In fact, they just did a sponsorship deal to sponsor the 49ers' new Levi's Stadium. So they're looking at having a fantasy football lounge in the stadium. ESPN's in the space. The NFL itself is in the space. So there's a lot of money to be made on advertisers and pay-per-click with people's eyeballs looking at those sites throughout NFL Sundays.
You mentioned the NFL. It's also a challenge for the NFL because sometimes if you're playing fantasy football, you might not actually have to plump for the cash to go to a real game.
It's made the home experience almost preferable for a lot of folks. So teams have had to integrate fantasy into the in-stadium experience, which means, in a lot of cases, massive infrastructure rebuilds for Wi-Fi, and they have to really cater to what the fans are looking for.
And when you take a look at the cost of actually taking a couple family members to a real game. I saw one estimate about $500 a game. You can see why some people might want to stay home.
Yeah, I mean, these days you could buy a pretty sizable TV for that much. You really have a double-edged sword for teams that want to give fans the tools and access that they want to their fantasy teams and the other scores around the league, but they also want to create a home team experience. You don't want to go to a stadium where 60,000 people are staring at their screens.
And if you think about it, the interactivity of fantasy sports is something that the media more widely covets. I mean, network TV would love to have you at this level of interaction with some of the TV shows in prime time.
Absolutely. I mean, you see some of the more popular TV shows now pushing that second screen and trying to drive fans to Twitter, but the NFL has it built in.
So I have to ask, Scott, do you actually play fantasy sports?
Absolutely, David. I'm proud to say I'm in six different leagues right now this year and this season coming up.
Scott Minto at San Diego State University's Sports Business MBA program. Mr. Minto, thank you.
David, thank you so much.
And you know, sometimes in the fancy coffee aisle, there are two grinders, one for regular beans, the second for flavored, so there's no cross-contamination of the taste. With that in mind, there is this. Campbell Soup is working on soup pods that fit the K-Cup coffee machines in many offices. The pod has the broth, and there's a separate packet you tear open with the dried-up soup chunks. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, the idea for instant pod soup came from on high. One day, Campbell's CEO, Denise Morrison, is making coffee with a pod, and she says to herself something along the lines of, "Hey." In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.